not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but we never can prove the delights of his love until on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them.
I like this last verse.
Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. But he says,
you believe that?
Let's all stand as Brother Lonnie comes. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. How many really believe that God has a personal message for you tonight? If you didn't, you shouldn't have come. He came to speak to you tonight, and you've got to be open to receive. And I just think we should open up our hearts and say, whatever you want, have your way, Lord, to speak to our hearts tonight. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Turn your
hallelujah. I won't be singing any songs. You can have your seat. Because Jeff has got all the plans for the wedding for Olivia coming up this weekend, he asked me if I'd take the next two services, which I was delighted to do, but you'll have to pray the rust off of me from not having preached very often. So if you'll do that for me. in the light of various sermons that have been preached recently, in fact, let's just read a scripture first, and then we'll go on from there. It's Ephesians 3. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all the saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he has purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. God, add your blessing to the word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In the light of many of the sermons that have been preached recently, I started forming a picture to me, and I wanted to share the picture with you, and I'm going to do it a little bit differently tonight than I have in the previous times. And so this picture kind of formed in my mind that when a family is expecting a baby, they go to great preparation that this one room in the house is going to be just right for baby. It's furnished just different, made it up different, everything just right, because they're expecting this member of a family. And then I thought about God and the lessons we've heard on the stars and the universe and how that God prepared not a room in a house, but a special place in the universe for this room that we call world, earth, for us to live. And he went to a lot of preparation to make it just right for us, just like the family makes it just right for baby. And as I was thinking on those things, I began to think about all this preparation. And we know that the preparation started with that statement, in the beginning God. But that really wasn't the beginning. The beginning was within God himself. Amen. Because he had to, let's say, develop a plan that he was going to work out. And like Brother Branham told us in the Church Age book, it said he's not like a contractor who is laying it. Well, he is like a contractor that he lays out all the building materials, but he's not figuring it out as he goes along. To him, it's a finished product because he already knows the end from the beginning. So consequently, I wanted to focus on that concept of God before the beginning and working his way toward where we are now, where we won't reach where we are tonight. And I think, unless the inspiration takes me more than I'm anticipating tonight, this will be a fairly short service, because I want to get ready, get you ready for the Sunday service, where we'll go into much more depth. So my plan is, I'm going to sit down over here, and I'm going to read to you, and you're going to, I hope, without falling asleep, listen to my words. And every once in a while, a slide will come up, and you'll have to read the slide while I'm talking. And the reason I'm doing this, I want to just try this. I think it was the Lord. We'll see. If you're blessed by it, it was the Lord. If you weren't blessed, then it wasn't him. That I want you to focus on the words and not me. So consequently, in the beginning, in our studying of Scripture and the message, it's amazing how much we find out about before the beginning. There was one who had no beginning, and the one who had no beginning, there was one who had no beginning, God was. He called himself, I am. A present tense God in every age, or before such a thing as an age, it was still I am, because he's there.
Amen.
Invisible, no one to worship him as yet, to give him the title of God, but he was there. There's no air, no light nor darkness as we know it, no sun, moon, stars, not an atom, not a breeze, just the eternal, invisible spirit that we worshipers call God, or sometimes Papa God, the Almighty. This omniscient, omnipotent, omnipotent, omniscient, unlimited in his knowledge, not just for now, but past and present and future, your future and my future. It's all there. In the thoughts of this omnipotent one was the desire to have a family, living in love, peace, harmony, and able to totally trust their father. He wanted to share his life, eternal life, yet he wanted this family to know him and appreciate this life of his that he was prepared to share. You can read the scripture that God, there is no God like our God, Papa God, and he says he knows the end from the beginning because it's in his hands. He put his children on free moral agency, no strings, not a robot, free to choose. He told them what the results could be from their right or wrong choices. This life of his that he was prepared to give them was to also be theirs if they chose only right. His omniscience told him they would choose wrong. What he was about to provide for them, do for them, work in them, would so prepare them, train them, that they could not only share his life, but one day actually rule with him from a position of godship here on earth. They would be his manifestation upon earth, the invisible God in their form, sharing his eternal life. I hope you can read the slides. In Genesis 1:26 and 1:27, we find God's thoughts about this program that he said, let us make man in our image and give them dominion. That was his thought. So we see God's goal, his intentions for his children before the foundation of the world, back there where there was not even a breeze. He had already included in his plan how to redeem them from this fall that he knew they would take. An innocent substitute would die in their stead to pay the price of, in the day you eat thereof, that day you'll surely die. But among mankind, there was none innocent. He would put on flesh. He would put on flesh to become himself the ransom to pay for his children's fall, their disobedience. His purpose will be fulfilled. His goal will be achieved. He said, and you read it, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. We sing about it. The great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in him. His children stand justified. The penalty of sin will be paid in full. My counsel shall stand, all my counsel.
Yes.
So we find that we are, when we take it as he says it, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and you see the rest of it. So over there, as the invisible God, He already saw the end that we haven't even reached yet, and that's glorification.
Amen.
He who is eternal saw the end from the beginning,
yes.
But we're trapped in time working our way through. But because he already saw the end from the beginning, he has told us that, and he's told us what our destiny is.
Yes.
Now, why would he do that? To minister peace,
yes,
and assurance,
yes,
and take the struggle out of the walk, but rather make it a joyous one. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Catch that last part. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. And somehow we get into this mode of, I've got to merit something. I've got to work up something. He said, I finished it before the foundation of the world. He says, if you spot my life moving through your life in your era, in your age, and you step into it, you will be carried by this wave of eternal right into my predestinated plan.
Thank you, Lord.
And it won't fail.
Amen.
Enter into rest.
Amen.
So we look at this portion of grace already prepared for us and clearly told to us, and in our study, we are not yet even at in the beginning.
Amen.
God did all that before the beginning.
Right. That's right.
At this point in eternity, God has not yet even created the universe we live in, nor the world we will inherit. Hallelujah. Yet look at all he has done on our behalf. Only believe, all things are working together for our good.
Amen.
Hebrews 4:1 says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They had a promise of a land that if they could just believe the promise, it was theirs.
Right.
But there was a struggle to take it.
It.
We have a promise,
yes,
but there's a struggle to take it.
Amen.
There's more. Let's go on. All this that we've studied is already settled in heaven. In God's mind, it is as good as finished, for he knows the end from the beginning. Heaven and earth may pass away, but not God's word. He will do all his pleasure. He watches over his word to bring it to pass, to form it. And here in the closing of this seventh church age, he is calling us to enter into the same seventh day rest as he did on the seventh day.
Amen.
The word has been spoken.
Yes.
It must come to pass.
Yes.
I have to remind you of what we have covered so many times. In this plan, God has devised times, seasons, dramas, through which he will unveil some of his manifold attributes. And in these manifold attributes, there's just more than you could possibly name. He's just been unveiling them, and will most likely continue to unveil them all through eternity. After all, he is infinite. Yes. Beyond all knowing. God wrote a book called the Book of Life. We found out later it was the Bible that had that book of life that was written before the foundation of the world has hidden in it all those names that were written on the book of life.
Amen.
Now there's two sections in the book of life. One portion is a record of your natural life from either birth to death or birth to rebirth. Actions, thoughts, everything, nothing hidden until it's put under the blood. The book of life and the Lamb's book of life, keep in mind the names are entered in this book before the foundation of the world. None are being added. And from the Lamb's book portion, none can be removed. The book of life is for the recording. Listen now. The book of life, that portion of the book, is for the recording of the deeds or omissions in our natural life. When you are born again, this portion of the book with your deeds as a sinner without Christ, which is the record, that record is tossed into the sea of what God calls, Brother Branham called, the sea of forgetfulness, which Micah 7:19 says, "Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." So the record of all you did in your natural life before coming to Christ, before your new birth, is totally, totally, totally erased. There's not even a record in heaven if you're birthed. The Lamb's Book of Life is your eternal destiny, and that's where God sees you as he saw you in his mental creation in Genesis 1, 26-27, when he said, "Let us make man in our image."
Amen.
When your name is only on that book, and you call out to God and you speak to God, he looks to your representation, which is your theophany, which stands before him. Let's cover that just a moment now. This body that is God had in his mind, we call it a theophany. We go to this body at death. We're very familiar with this scripture, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, this eternal in the heavens, when we consider that only God is eternal, then our body has to be literally a part of God. Because if it had a beginning, it's not eternal. Only God is eternal. So that body that we go to has to be actually a part of God. Remember, we spoke about God sharing his eternal life. So just as you were in the genes, the Bible calls it the loins, of your great-great-grandfather, so you were in God. He has no loins, no genes as such, but you were carried in his thoughts, as I said before, to be manifested in your specific season on earth.
Yes, that's right.
This eternal body that we call our theophany, which is also your guardian angel,
yes, that's right. Amen.
Called by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:40, your celestial body, is your representation in heaven. And we see from this scripture that that angel that watches over you, that messenger from God, always beholds your Father's face. That's your representation. He hears your voice coming through earth, but he looks to your representation. He doesn't see all the problems you have in your flesh. That's covered by the blood. He sees your representation. And your representation is word form. That's why you can boldly come before him, because you are the word approaching the word. What a plan. Hallelujah. Let's read this one together. You cannot be here a spiritual being, sinner or saint, without having an influence from the underworld or from the above world. If you're influenced from here, you're from above. Your celestial body, that's a theophany body, your celestial body is waiting up here. But if you're wicked and hypocritical and indifferent, your celestial body is down there. Regardless of how much you think it's up there, because the fruit that you bear before people proves where you're from. So you are here what you are somewhere else. Wow, what a thought, huh?
Amen.
Your life that you live here is just reflecting what your inheritance is when you leave here. Do you understand? So God is really unveiling to us through the Bible and through the message where we came from, who we are, and where we're going, and we are not the person we see in the mirror. As Brother Branham said many times, he says, "You have never seen me. This is my hand, this is my nose, this is my ear, these are my eyes, but who is my?" It's the life inside.
Amen.
You've never seen it.
Amen.
What is it that makes you want to serve God? What puts you in you a desire to be so full of His Spirit until Christ lives through you?
Amen.
It's that influence from above.
Amen.
Where you have a body waiting.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Theophany body, celestial body are the same. The term celestial is translated in all other verses heavenly. Only in that one place where it talks about, Paul taught in Corinthians about celestial body, is it translated that. Every other place is heavenly. Here's an example in 1 Corinthians 15:49. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Paul writes, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And so it becomes evident from this verse that not every human being on earth is listed in this book, or there would be nothing to rejoice about, as Luke 10:20 here says. So there's some privilege in having your name in that book. Either your name was put on this book before the foundation of the world, or it will never be there.
That's right. Amen.
This is not a process of gaining merit badges.
That's right.
Predestination and grace put it there,
Amen.
The name on the book. Because of your representation, if it is pulling you toward the Christ-like life, even the desire to be Christ-like, that pull is coming from heaven.
Amen.
You may say, but I'm not living Christ-like, but I want to. Well, where's the want to coming from?
Amen.
That's the group that has their name on the book. Catch this for you newer ones. Your flesh is never born again. It will pull you the wrong way until you get a new body. Or as Brother Branham said, you've got an old cucklebear nature in your flesh that's going to fight you all the days of your life. So you never judge your level of life in God by what your flesh calls for, because it is not born again. After your new birth, your flesh will still send you the same messages that it did before. The difference is the old nature wanted to cooperate with those messages. The new one says, I don't want to be this way.
Amen.
But he gives you the power to rise above it. By natural birth, you are 2/3 of the wicked one. That's a quote from Brother Branham. Your sex-born body is illegitimate to the original plan. It is contaminated with animalistic sex drive. Because you came in a perverted way, the devil had a right to attach himself to you. So you came into this world, Ephesians 2:2 tells us, under the dominion of the prince of the power of the air. You were given over to the devil by natural birth. So you got two strikes against you. That God has put into that predestinated seed down in the soul. That's what he's working on. You heard all the stories in the Bible, where in the message where Brother Bram talks about the priest was all white and clean on the outside, but when faced with the word to his age, it proved he was black on the inside. He said, but the little prostitute down in Samaria, she looked all black and smutty on the outside, but when she faced the word, it proved there was a seed of righteousness in there. She responded to the word. What caused you to respond to the word? Something inside. And it's not you. It's that something inside. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. All of this God had already planned for you before the foundation of the world. Who are these that are given to Jesus and will not, cannot be lost? Who are these whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, the section where names cannot be removed? They can be removed from the Book of Life portion, but not the Lamb's Book of Life portion. Paul wrote in Romans 4:8, "Blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin." Who is this blessed man? We can make it much narrower and more specific and even more wonderful. How can I know if, like the words of the song, I'm one of them? One of them. That's what I want to go into in the scriptures in our next session. Told you it would be short. I wanted to lay that foundation. It's all finished work by God. Musicians and Paul, you can come. You got a lot to think about between now and Sunday. And we're going to go into the scripture to establish who are these people. And are you one of them? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Great God, what a plan you have made. What a joy it is. What a just bubbling down in the soul takes place as you, one realizes, I'm part of that plan. That God thought of me before the foundation of the world, and he's working out his will, his pleasure in my life. And God, I wouldn't want it any other way. God, take our lives, take our day-to-day actions, take our thoughts, consume us, Lord, until there's nothing reflected but you through this sin-born body. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. One of them, one of them. Let's sing that one. Amen. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart, all glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them, hallelujah, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Of worldly fame, they have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide his power is yet the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. Start the joy bells ringing and we'll keep the soul alive.
say I'm one of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm very much looking forward to Sunday. Hallelujah. You know, I couldn't help but think about the Apostle Paul when he wrote Romans 7, talking about the battle that was going on the inside of him. You know, I want to do good and I can't, and when things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there, saints, that don't have a battle. There's just, they just do whatever they want. There's just no struggle inside. But there's a struggle. I'm glad for the struggle. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. You know, we spend so much of our time, I don't know, maybe 80, 90% of our time concerned about this 70 years on earth. When we're attached to an eternal being who's only using this 70 years to make us ready for eternity. So his focus is eternity, and he's going to take 70 years to groom us, and our focus is the 70 years. I think we should forget about the 70 years and concentrate on eternity. I think he could get a lot more done in the 70 years if we're thinking a little about less about it than what we do. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's all stand. You know, I want to sing that song, The Old Account Was Settled Long Ago. We've got a little bit of time here. I'm not going to take it all, but I'm glad that there was a record that was cleared one day by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went into the keeper and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago, that old account was large and growing every day. For I was always sinning, I never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw some pain and woe, I said that I would settle, and I settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago, when at the judgment bar I stand before my King, and he the book will open, he cannot find a thing. My heart be glad, while tears of joy will flow, because I had it settled, and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago, my Savior's home above, I'll sing redemption's story and praise him for his love. I'll not forget that book with pages white as snow, because I came and settled, and I settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago, oh sinners, seek the Lord, repent of all your sin, for thus he hath commanded, if you would enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, up there you'll not regret it, that you settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, give the Lord a clap offering. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we bless your name tonight, Father. Thank you for the settling power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Well, they usually sufficiently baited the hook. I think it's set, and I'm just anxious for Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer as we get ready to dismiss. Father, we just count it such a privilege, Lord, to have heard tonight. Lord, God, when we realize our standing with you, oh, what grace. What amazing grace. Lord, as a songwriter wrote, your grace still amazes me. It surely amazes me, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, how could we ever think that we could do it on our own? God, I just pray tonight, Lord Jesus, that that person that's sitting there who's struggling to do this thing on his own, do this thing on her own, God, I pray that you'd give them a revelation tonight of the grace of Jesus Christ, that it's by grace that we stand and not by works. Lord, we do works. We love you. We serve you. We do everything that we know to do. But Lord, it's because we love you, Father. There's nothing in us that fears you, Lord Jesus, in that kind of way. Yes, we reverence you and we fear you. But Lord, we don't fear your damnation. For Lord, it's settled. It's settled, Lord Jesus. You've already done the work and we're resting in a finished work at Calvary. And Lord, out of that comes forth love for you. And from that love, Lord Jesus, comes a life that's motivated by love. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us in any way that we're falling short, Lord Jesus. Just show it to us, Lord. It's in our heart's desire to walk perfect before you. Lord, there's something on the inside that longs for that. Lord, we struggle with a flesh man, but Lord, we don't identify with him tonight. You promised that you'd give us dominion over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and we claim that tonight, Lord Jesus. We know that that is there ready for us, Father, to attain. Sinless perfection, no. But by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can stand perfect before you, Father. We just love you so much. God, we thank you for calling us. Oh, Lord, that you would call us out of all, Lord Jesus. Oh, we think about the Apostle Paul said, the chiefest of sinners. If he, Lord, the chiefest of sinners, well, how much more us? God, your prophet on this generation said the same thing, that he was born out of season. Oh, Lord Jesus, we feel definitely born out of season, Lord Jesus. But, Lord, you've called us irregardless. Lord, there's something that's a deposit of yourself on the inside, Lord Jesus, and you're calling that back to yourself. Oh, we thank you for that, Lord Jesus, that we have so little, if we have nothing to do with this, Lord Jesus. Help us get out of the way that you might live your life through us, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we just love you. We thank you for the reminder tonight, Lord Jesus, of where we stand with you. Lord, you just hear our voice. You look over to our representation. And Lord, for the very fact that we're here tonight, Lord Jesus, bears witness in our hearts that our representation is above. Oh, Lord Jesus, may we listen to that pull more often, Lord Jesus. That inner something that's pulling us to righteousness, that warns us every time temptation comes, Lord Jesus. May we listen to it, Lord. May that influence, Lord Jesus, have more power over us as we die to ourselves on a daily basis, every day dying afresh, mortifying the deeds of our flesh, mortifying our goals, our ambitions, our desires, that we might be a prisoner to Jesus Christ. God, we just love you so much. Just take the words that were spoken tonight. May we ponder them through the week. God, may you bring them to our remembrance, Lord Jesus, just at the times when we would need them. Father, we just love you so much. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Lord, may we hide these words tonight in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Oh, we just love you so much. Father, we just love you. We commit all things to you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. I lift my voice to sing that as you're dismissed. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear.
Thank you.